Well, open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to read one verse here. This being Father's Day, I want to pick up on some things that we shared a month ago. In May, on the first Sunday in May, I believe it was maybe the second Sunday, the 8th or the 10th, somewhere in there. Was Mother's Day. I forget the specific date, but I ministered on that day from the fifth commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16 records the fifth commandment. Everybody read it aloud, please. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. To honor someone means to give them respect or special esteem. To respect someone means to feel and then to show a deferential regard for them. This is the first of the commandments that has a promise attached to it. God said, if you will honor your father and honor your mother as I've commanded you, I promise to give you long life, and I promise that things will go better for you than they otherwise would. In the New Testament, we have a confirmation of this commandment. There are those that believe, well, this is Old Testament stuff. I live in the New Testament. Well, if you're one who lives in the New Testament, you're going to find this same commandment in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, the second and third verse. Paul quotes it almost verbatim. As Mother's Day came, and as I was ministering along these lines, and as Mother's Day went, I was reflecting on some things that I was observing about the Mother's Day celebration. Now, I've observed this in the past, but this year, for some reason, it struck me, and perhaps it was because of these thoughts I want to share with you today, and I guess maybe you would say I'm going to share some thoughts with you today rather than preach a, quote, sermon. The question that comes to me is, why is it that as a general rule, mothers get a lot more honor on Mother's Day than fathers get on Father's Day? Did God make a mistake when he included fathers in the fifth commandment? Should he have just said, honor your mother, so that it may go well with you? Why do we have a Father's Day anyway? Is it just to throw old dad a bone? Is it primarily to pacify our fathers and to give them some kind of compensation in part for the major effort that we make every Mother's Day? We just don't want dad to feel badly. I don't think anybody can deny that Mother's Day is a much more widely celebrated holiday than is Father's Day. And that the hoopla and that the celebration and the recognition and so on that comes with Mother's Day is significantly greater and significantly stronger and significantly more widespread than it is on Father's Day. Well, Pastor Vic, why do you say that? Does that mean I'm just a cynic? Am I an unhappy and an unrequited father? Mother's Day is the busiest day of the year for the telephone. Did you know that? It's busier than Easter. It's busier than Christmas. It's busier than any other day, Thanksgiving, any day of the year. The telephone company has its worst day on Mother's Day. The florists do land office business. I tell you, if you want to enter the florist business, don't do it after Mother's Day. Do it before Mother's Day. Many people are driven to great lengths and to great sacrifices to visit their mother on this special day, and then to do some special things for their moms. And certainly, this is appropriate, and this is fitting, and we praise God for this annual reminder every May for the special place in our lives, all of our lives, that our moms take. But what about dad? Is he just chopped liver? Is he just kind of around for effect? Oh, he's just dad. He doesn't go for all that mushy stuff. he wouldn't really appreciate any of that. And that's true, he wouldn't when it's contrived or when it comes out of a sense of obligation. But when it's genuine, and when it's real, when it's spontaneous, I'm here to tell you that Dad goes for it big time. Everybody say, big time. Fathers are real people too. They have feelings too. That's why they're dads. Fathers become fathers by choice. You say, no, Pastor, it's not really that way. Most dads become dads because of lust and because of accident. Now, that may be a biological truth in some instances. But a dad who really becomes a father, a dad who looks after his children, a dad who maintains his family, is a father by choice, not by chance. He may have created that life in a fit of passion. But he sustains that life in a fit of love. Dads are people too. They have feelings as well. Oh, the decision that a man makes to be a father may not be such a high decision as when God decided, hey, I have so much love that I want to give forth. I'm going to have me a family. But no father was ever forced to be a father. No father was ever forced to remain a father and to do the ministry of a dad. And so I think it shouldn't surprise us that dads would have a desire to be honored as well by their offspring. It seems to me that fathers, in the same way mothers are blessed, have an eager desire to have their children's respect and to have their children's esteem. I believe dads, just like moms, hunger to be valued and treasured by those that they love, just like anybody else. But unfortunately, in large measure, Mother's Day comes with great fanfare and splash, but Father's Day often passes with barely or little notice. Except, of course, by the tool companies who figure they're going to sell a lot of power saws. Or J.C. Penney, who thinks he's going to sell a lot of ties or socks. And I think the reason for this, and this is not a complaint now, don't misunderstand me, this is not a personal complaint or a personal axe that I'm grinding today, but as I've noticed this, I don't think anybody would deny that Mother's Day is a significantly more important holiday than is Father's Day. Now, that does not mean that many do not love and honor and cherish and acknowledge so their fathers on Father's Day. That's not what I mean. But as a Mother's Day is this tremendous... Pastor, did you rather you had been a mother? No. I'm so glad that I was a daddy. Okay. But Mother's Day seems to come with this universal recognition of the importance of the day. Father's Day, on the other hand, in many families, comes and goes. In our society, in large measure, it kind of comes and goes. If you didn't read the advertisements in the paper, you wouldn't even know Father's Day was coming or that it was here. I think the problem lies, and this is, as I've been thinking about this, you say, oh, Pastor, the crazy things that you think on. This is where I think the problem is. I think the problem lies in the motivation behind our honor. Now, you think with me a moment. On Mother's Day, I talked to you about the importance of honoring our mother, not just because we felt grateful for her influence in our lives, but because the Word of God by commandment says that this is the appropriate action for a child, that he should honor his mother. She should honor her mother. This is appropriate and fitting, and because it is so important, I'm going to give a promise along with that commandment, and I will bless you abundantly if you will abide by this particular command. And I said to you on that day that much of the honor which comes to our mothers comes not by command, but comes out of simple gratitude and a simple expression of the heart that says, thank you, Mom, for giving me life. Thank you, Mom, for changing my diaper. Thank you, Mom, for allowing me to nurse. Thank you, Mom, for cleaning my room. Thank you, Mom, for washing my clothes. Thank you, Mom, for fixing my meals. Thank you, Mom, for being there to wipe my nose when it was running. Thank you, Mom, for being this tender and kind and warm and soft and generous person in my life. And that is why I honor you on this Mother's Day. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, you see. I think that is perfectly appropriate. Mothers are easy to honor. I mean, a man who cannot honor his mother is either a really bad dude or he has been cursed with a really unusual mom. Because moms are meant by God to be soft. They are meant by, I mean, just touch a mom and she's a lot softer than a dad is. I mean, you can feel it. Moms are meant to be warm. Moms are meant to be nurturing. Moms are meant to be supportive. Moms are meant to be caring. Moms are meant to be tender. And because she represents tenderness and because she represents compassion and because she represents nurture and so on, she's easy to honor. We rightly honor her because we are grateful for, if I can use this term, services rendered. On the other hand, Dad usually represents the other side of the parenting equation. Dad represents correction. Dad represents instruction and direction. Dad represents resistance to what I wanted to do. Dad represents reproof when I have missed the mark. And he represents oftentimes denial. And we're not grateful for these things in our lives until we mature to the point where we appreciate and value them, and generally that doesn't happen until we get old enough to have children of our own, and then we understand the value of correction, of discipline, of instruction, of reproof, of restraint, and of denial in our lives. And until we get to that point, where we mature to the point where we understand that our fathers have provided more than just seed, of value in our lives, we do not normally honor our fathers with the same passion as we do our mothers. Well, Pastor Vic, why are you bringing this all up today? I'm telling you why I'm bringing it up today. First of all, because it's Father's Day, and secondly, because I want to make the point that if we only honor our mothers or our fathers because of the emotional reaction that we have to what they have done in our lives, we will never fully obey the fifth commandment. The essential point is the obedience to the Word of God. Not that we operate out of our feelings and our emotions. God knew we needed both parents. Not only that we needed both biological contributions, but we needed both emotional and physical contributions as well. Mom supplies the warmth and the mercy and the nature and the nurture and the softness. Dad provides the strength and the protection and the wisdom and the reproof. And who would disagree that both are an important part of a normal childhood experience and a normal equation? We need both of them. Only God can supply in one parent both needs. It's interesting to me, as I was thinking about this, and I guess this will explain in part how my mind works sometimes when I get thinking about something, and I have a very analytical mind. I want to know why, and it really is a, it can be a major problem for me because I ask why a lot of times when there aren't any answers. You know, I mean, I don't have that problem so much anymore with God, but when things were happening in my life, I'd always, why? I want to know why. I don't care about the what. I want to know why. And there are lots of questions, you know, lots of why questions that he just won't answer. But my mind works that way, and I guess that's the kind of a person I am. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but this whole business behind what would be called the feminist movement. Do you know there's a feminist movement in the Christian church? Do you know what the feminists want to do in the Christian church and what they have successfully done in many of our mainline denominations? Do you know what the primary thing is they want to do? They want all references to God as Father deleted. They have rewritten the Bible to either de-sex God or to feminize Him. If you read any kind of Christian publications, if you read even your newspaper and you see what's going on at the denominational conventions of the mainline traditional denominations, you will find that they will be bringing reports on bringing this new Bible. There are new hymnals out now. The publishers are publishing new hymnals that take every reference to Father out. It's either God our Mother, or it's God without sex one way or the other. Why is that? Because fathers represent something that mothers don't. Are you listening to me? Fathers represent what I indicated before. Fathers represent resistance. Fathers represent denial. Fathers represent, I don't mean only this. You don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Fathers can be soft and tender, and the best fathers are, like our Heavenly Father. But generally, fathers represent that part of parenting that immaturity resists and bucks up against. In the home that you were coming up in, think about who it was generally. If your home was what I would consider a standard, can I say standard home? You came up in a standard home. Whose spanking did you most fear? Poor Pops. It was when Dad laid it on. Now, Mom could give a spanking, but, you live with that. But when Dad picks up the rod, look out. Most kids know that. Well, doesn't it make sense for someone who is rebellious and someone who is stubborn and someone who does not want to be resisted and does not want to be denied anything that they want, that they would resist this whole idea of fatherhood? Oh, give me two mothers! So we'll write a book, Heather Has Two Mommies. We'll publish it in all the schools. And we'll have lesbian homes. And we'll raise kids in those kinds of homes. I tell you, it is a great miracle for me when I watch single parents, and we have lots of single parents in our culture today, mostly single moms. It's a great tragedy because we have so many derelict fathers. But in homes where we have single moms, I tell you, if you're a single mom, you need God's supernatural grace to help you raise your You're going to have to provide some things in the lives of your children that would normally be provided by the father. But if the father's not there for whatever the reason, the father died, the father left, you left him, whatever happened. I mean, there are all sorts of reasons why families are broken. You're going to need an added measure of God's grace to supply these additional qualities. Now, it seems to me that as Christians, that we ought to have outgrown our immaturity and come to a place where we recognize not only in our Father God, but also in our earthly fathers, and value the qualities that they have and the ministry that they have that God has given them to speak into our lives, to say no when it's appropriate. To provide not only the strength and the protection and not just to bring home the bacon so that there are three squares a day and so that my mom can buy me designer jeans and $150 shoes. That's not all that dads are good for. Dads have wisdom that moms don't have. I'm sorry, moms. That's the case. And that's because God made us that way. Honor your father and your mother. Honor both. This is the first commandment regarding any kind of relationships. It comes before thou shalt not kill. It comes before thou shalt not commit adultery. It comes before thou shalt not rob or steal. It comes before you shall not lie or bear false witness. It comes before you shall not covet what belongs to someone else. It is the first commandment regarding how we are to operate with each other. And I said to you on Mother's Day, and I just want to say by reminder today, that it is not dependent upon whether the parent is honorable. If you have a father who is easy to honor, you honor him. If you have a father that is difficult to honor, you honor him anyway because he is your father. God did not say in his word, honor your father and mother if they are honorable. He said, honor them. One of the most ugly things that you can see in a child is a child that refuses to honor his parents. A disobedient, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, stubborn, and rebellious child is an ugly thing, as beautiful as a child can be, ugly. Nothing is more precious, nothing is more lovely than a child that has been taught, and children have to be taught, they don't learn this on their own, a child that has been taught to respect his parents, a child that has been taught to honor his father and mother. That is a lovely thing, that is a beautiful thing, and that is a child that it is a joy to be around. Unfortunately, many do not learn this, as I said before, until much later in life. Now, I want to ask you to turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah. Oh, Jesus, speak to us through your word today, O God. Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. This is a very strange and unusual story to have been inserted right in the middle of this prophecy of Jeremiah, but there are very many insights here. The one I want to examine today is the one that relates to honoring a father. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I, that is Jeremiah, took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the sons of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Now listen to what the Rechabites said here. We understand what their father had said. Their father had said, you're to drink no wine, neither you nor your sons forever. He said, you're not to build houses like everybody else does. You're to live in tents. Verse 8, they confess, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Now notice here, this is not something God commanded them to do. This is not God's command. This is their father's command. Jonadab said, for reasons of his own, we're not told the reason. You are not to live like other people. You are not to drink wine, and you're not to build houses, and you're not to plant orchards and vineyards. You're to be nomadic, and you're to live distinctively among the strangers in which you live. Not God's rules, the Father's rules. They decided to honor their Father by doing what? By obeying that. They made of themselves different. They made of themselves unusual. They made of themselves distinctive, and they may very well have made of themselves a mockery. But they did it in deference to their Father. Now, how would we know that they honored their Father? They honored their Father because they respected His word, and they obeyed what He did, and they followed the principle that He laid down for them. This is what honoring your Father is all about. They could just as easily have flown in the face of what their Father had said, especially after the Father had died. Especially if they weren't where the Father was, where He couldn't see them. And they could have bought houses and lived like everybody else and not been different and perhaps not taken the ridicule of other people. But no, they decided they were going to honor their Father, Jonadab. Now you say, Pastor, you're really straining at something here. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm finding something tremendously significant in this passage of Scripture, and I want to show it to you in just a moment. Now, God sends Nehemiah to them and says, get some wine out and invite them into my house and give them some wine. And he did. And they said, I'm sorry, we can't drink that. Why not? Because our Father commanded us, and historically, we have obeyed that, and we're not about to break it for you. We honor our Father by obeying His word. Nothing can bring us to violate that, regardless of the cultural circumstances. Now jump down to the 12th verse. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, here comes the word of God for the Rechabites. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The word, and God is using the situation with the Rechabites to explain to Israel how he's feeling as a father. The words of Jonadab, the sons of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, those words are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but they obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. He says, you people, here is a family who honored their father against the pressures of their culture. And here are you, my people, all that I've done for you, and as many times as I have come to you and asked you, won't you please follow my way for me? But you despise me, and you despise my word, and you despise my servants. And the reason I know that you despise me and my servants and my word is that you will not obey me and you will not honor me by doing what I've asked you to do. Have I asked you to do something that is so incredible that you just cannot do it? No. But you want your own way. You will not honor your heavenly Father. Verse 16. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, not my commandment, but their dad, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me, Therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Now what did God say in the fifth commandment? He said, honor your father and your mother, what? That it may go well with you, and that your days may be long on the earth. Wasn't that the promise? Here's an example. He says to my people, Judah, you would not honor your heavenly father, therefore I cut you off. Your life will be shortened. It's not going to go well with you. On the other hand, the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, because they obeyed the voice of their father, what am I going to do? I'm going to see that it goes well with them. I'm going to see that they're blessed. And I'm going to see to it that as long as eternity lasts, there will never lack a child from the family of Rechab to stand holy in my presence. What a promise. What a magnificent promise. There will never lack a Rechabite in the presence of God. You know, when you get to heaven, you're going to see at least one Rechabite. At least one. Do you know why? Because his children honored him by obeying. See, it is profitable for our families. Dads, do all you can to teach your children to honor you. Moms, and this is real important, mom, I was reading in Dr. Dobson's magazine, his Focus on the Family magazine, and he's made this point before, that the single most important person in the family that determines how the kids feel about dad is mom. And mom is the interpreter of dad. You know, dads do things that kids don't understand. And moms can either side up with the kids or they can help the kids understand what dad's trying to do. In a family where the children do not respect their father, 99 times out of 100, it will be because mom doesn't. In a family where the children do respect their father and honor their father, it'll be because mom impressed upon them all through the days that she had influence in their life how important that was. And so, moms, what you do in your child's life, terribly important. One of the things that, and this is an example, this is in reverse now, and I'm going to come back to dad. The most important thing you can do in helping your children honor your mother or honor their mother is teaching them along these lines. One of the things that we did in our family was I realized that there were times in my own home where I would correct Lois in the presence of my sons. I shouldn't have done that. They got the idea they could do it when they saw me do it. But one thing I would never let them do is I wouldn't let them do that. I don't know how many times I had to speak to my sons about, you don't speak to your mother that way. I will not allow that. Now, they honor their mother, don't they? They're wonderful to do that. And children can be taught along these lines. It's important to do so. I want all of our families to be families like the Rechabites. Not necessarily about, I don't think it's necessary that we all live in tents, and I hope it's okay if we plant an orchard, if we plant a vineyard. I hope that's all right, because I have done so. So I don't think we have to emulate them in that way. But it is important, I think, that we honor our fathers in any way that God shows us is appropriate to do, especially on Father's Day. If you have not made a special effort, oh, my dad wouldn't appreciate flowers. Oh, don't you think he would? Anybody here ever send his dad flowers? One? Why not? Why not? Do dads not appreciate beauty? Why is it that only moms get flowers? Let's revisit this and let's rethink this. Let's pray.